When thou hast eaten an apple, then thou shalt bless thy God for the good land which hath given thee. Beware that thou forget the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes command thee this day. Lest thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built good houses and dwelt therein, and thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, and thine heart shall be lifted up. It's too loud. Can you turn down just a little bit, Josiah? I'm talking quickly, so, because it sounds loud to me. Just a bit. He says, when you get there, you inherit the land, and everything's good, and looks great, and wonderful, and you're secure in your houses and everything. It says, be careful that you don't get the Lord when you get there. And understand that God cannot bless somebody with security. Many people are secured, and everything's worked out, and then God, and they don't remember him. They only pray when they need him. It's the jailhouse conversion that happens sometimes. Some jailhouse conversions are real. Some, I was talking to somebody in jail today, but some of them are real, and some of them are just, they're really spiritual until God gets out, and then they're not spiritual anymore. And God wants you to remember him. What blessed you, and everything's good. Lest, verse 12, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwell in, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, fed thee with a great and through that great and terrible wilderness, where fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there is no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who led thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee and do thee good in our day. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might and the might of mine hath got me this wealth. But thou shalt Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as this day. Now notice there, and it shall, if thou to forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. He said, don't keep this covenant, you will be destroyed and perish, like the nations that I'm going to destroy for so you can get the land. And then if you go forward, Deuteronomy chapter 30, why would someone want to enter a covenant? You see, there's a question there, because if you're into this covenant, he says, if you don't do what I say, and if you break the covenant, you're going to be punished for it. And why would you want to enter into one? Verse chapter 30 and verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in the day that I command, thee to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou hast to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall turn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce to you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your day in the land whither thou passest over to go to possess it. I call on earth as a record this day against you, that I have set for you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, and that thou may love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, is thy life and the length of days that thou dwell in the land which he swore unto fathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he says, be very careful to do the right thing that you promised to do. Pray together, and we'll talk about why enter a covenant. Lord, we thank you for your word today, Lord. It's a very powerful book, Lord. And Father, thank you for the wonder of it, Lord, and the blood of it, and that it speaks to hearts and changes life. Thank you, Lord, that this book has clarity about what you want for mankind, Lord, and you offer before us things in good or misery and evil. Lord, I pray today that we would understand that a covenant is required to enter the great things that you offer many times. We ask tonight that you help us to see you through the prism of your sin, the clarity of what it truly says. And we pray you'd lead and guide us tonight, Father. You'd speak to us and we'd understand. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times when there's a covenant happening in the Bible, God says, I set before you a blessing and a curse, or good things and bad things. I set before you this day a choice and... And he says, if you choose my covenant, I'm going to bless you. If you don't choose, curse you, and bad things are going to happen. Now, here's a strange thing. One thing, important things to understand about covenants and agreements with God is if you don't enter into that agreement, you are not underneath that agreement. For example, the Bible says, if you are a child of God, God deals with you as children. And then he says right after that, he says, great, I'm a child of God. But then he says right after that, but a child, if the parents love him, he'll discipline them. Whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines. And he says, I discipline you if you're my child. And if you become my child, if you get disciplined by me, then you're not my child. So he says, if you want to end that father-son relationship, understand, as my child, you will be of my discipline. So, hey, it's great to have God as your father, and it's great to have the close to God. However, understand, if you just enter into that covenant, now you have to deal with discipline. You know, it's a strange thing, a disciplined house. You find a very strange thing. Kids in the neighborhood from undisciplined home to your house. And also, you like, they don't have any rules in their house. They don't want, but they come to this house because kids want boundaries. And they like authority. There's a rebellious side of every human, has a rebellious side. Yet I've heard many military families talk about how the neighborhood kind of come to their house. Because there's discipline there, and there's rules, and they're right and wrong, and they know what they can and can't do, where this won't stop them from anything. And you go to this certain house, the people will treat you real well, but they say, you know, we'll treat you, we're glad you're here, we'll do well, but if you're going to be my house, you can't say that. Or you're going to do what I say if you're in this house. And by the way, you should have rules. You don't have to be a mean and nasty or anything, but you should have rules. And God says, if you want a covenant with me, understand, you're going to need those rules. And so you say, well, why would I want to enter a covenant then? Because if I enter a covenant and I don't do what God wants me to do, he's going to punish me. And that is true. If you decide to get in a covenant with God, break your covenant, God says, I have stipulations built into the prayer. If you decide to forsake me and worship else, I'm going to punish you. If you decide to continue to do that, I will send plagues. If you decide to continue to worship idols after that, I will send you and see you across the world. You won't be a nation anymore. Do you want that covenant? And they said, yes, we want that. Because, we'll tell you, so why would you want to enter into a covenant? And let me just give you three reasons to enter into a covenant and why somebody would want to do that. And by the way, I'm not trying to talk you into entering into a covenant, because I don't want you to make a covenant with God and keep it. The Bible says you're better off never making a covenant with God than making a covenant and breaking it. Number one, to get the benefits covenant. We're in Deuteronomy, let's go to 7. it was after we read Deuteronomy 8, but let's look at Deuteronomy 7. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage, but God talks about the blessings, because he read where he said, if you break this covenant, this is going to happen to you. But we didn't read before the good things that would happen if they did go in a covenant and keep the agreement with God. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'll just read passages to you. You don't have to turn everywhere, or you can turn along as I read, whatever you'd prefer. But I'm going to read all these verses to you. It says, this is Deuteronomy 7, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the nations mightier than thou, and the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thou shalt smite them, and he destroy them, that thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages unto them, nor thy daughter shalt thou not give unto thy son, nor daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Whole lesson I can't wait to teach on not making covenants with things. Wrong people. For turn away thy son following me, that they may serve the gods. The anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroyed suddenly. But thus have ye shall ye deal with me. Ye shall destroy the altars. Now watch this. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord not set his love upon you, nor you, because you are more in number than any people. You are the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought out it with a mighty hand, and redeemed the house of bondmen, and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now therefore that the Lord thy God, know therefore the Lord, he is God, a faithful God, which keepeth covenant, and mercy them that love him, and keep his commandments unto a thousand generations, and repay them that hate him their face, and destroy them, and he will be slack to them, to him which hateth him, repay him to his face. Thou therefore keep the commandments and statutes and judgments I command this day, and do them. Therefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep to them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which were unto thy fathers, and he will love, bless thee, and multiply thee, and so bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, and the corn, and the wine, and thine oil, increase thine kine, and the flock, sheep, and the land which ye swear unto thy fathers again. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female among you, or among your cattle. The Lord will take away from you all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which are upon thee, but will lay them upon them that hate thee. You see how wonderful it is to be in the covenant with God? After God says all these things, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your land. I'm going to establish you. You'll be special to me and close to me, my special people. I'll bless you in every way. However, he goes into Deuteronomy 8, if you break my covenant, I'm going to do this. Then he says, do you have my covenant? So there's a reason to enter into a covenant. Although it brings great ability, it also brings great blessing. And if you don't want that great blessing, don't enter into the covenant. And there's no accountability there. If they, nope, we don't want that covenant with you, God. God would have said, I'll make a company else that wants to be near to me and close to me and bless them and be my people. Because I give you free will. If you don't want to be blessed, you understand that's your life too. If you don't want to be blessed and you don't want to follow God, God won't twist your arm. You'll have a miserable life. And you won't have God, and you'll be miserable in eternity. But if God says, I said before you, blessing, if you want to enter into a relationship with me. Look at Exodus 19. It's very the way God says that he blesses you when you're into a covenant. And you do not get that with covenant. Exodus 19 is again God asking for the covenant. And in Exodus 19, you read these verses, and I'll read them a lot, because the best example of a covenant probably in the Bible, in verse 1, verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord came out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt say unto the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bare eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you'll obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak unto the children of Israel. God says, if you enter into this covenant with me and keep it, ye a peculiar treasure to God. Wow. God says, I will personally be close to you. And that's what God wants to do with everybody. I can illustrate this in different ways, and I'll illustrate it in some different ways. Let me just illustrate it in a few different ways of a covenant. He comes up, and I say, I own a business. He says, how pay there an hour? And I say, I pay $25. He says, great. He says, I want that. We have any benefits? Full benefits. Dental, mental health, you know, physical health, anything. Any kind of benefit. We have everything. We give you benefits, and it covers your family. It covers everything. 100% insurance. And the guy says, awesome. Man, that sounds great. Okay. And you say, all right, why don't you fill out an application, and we want to hire you. Do I have to commit to the company? Yes. I have to hire you, and then you have to say yes, and then a W-2, and we do this and that, and then you a person in this company, and you'll show up Monday at 7 in the morning. Whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to have any kind of commitment here, but I do like the $20 an hour and the full benefits. Okay? If I decide to hire you, and you come to work for me, then I will give you that. No. I don't want to commit to anything. But I do want those benefits. Is anybody going to do that? No. And God comes to mankind, and here's the thing. Not funny, it's tragic. God, all the time, is sitting there with people mad at him, saying, why didn't you bless me? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you do this? You should be doing this for me, this for me, this for me. God says, you didn't part of the covenant. You want me to answer your prayers? You haven't listened to a thing I've said in 20 years. We're not in any kind of... I'm not committed. Like, kid, some guy walks up in the door. Yes? Feed me! Why should I... Because you owe it to me! Click. Fuck. I don't owe him anything. If I had some commitment with him, if he went and said, if I mow your lawn, will you feed me? Then we'd have it. And if he mowed my lawn, I'd feed him. By the way, if he came up and said, can you please? I'd be merciful to him and feed him. And people demand all the time, God, you need to do this. God, why don't you do this? You need to do this. And God says, you're not part of that situation there. I treat a lot of kids real good, and I love a whole bunch of kids. And I minister to a whole bunch of kids, and I have a bunch of kids, and I buy a bunch of stuff and do things with all kinds of kids. But they're not part of my family. I can't do a bunch of things with them. I can't them. They're not part of that covenant. Can't go and do a whole bunch of things. You know what? I don't know without the parents' permission. They're not my kids. Kid walks up and says, I'm going to spend the night at your house tonight. He's great. You'd ask your parents? No, but I'm just going to spend the night at your house. No. I'm not your parent. We have that covenant. We don't have that relationship. People want things from God, but they will not take commitment to God in order to get those. But God opens an invitation and says, do you want? It's like Israel saying, no, we don't want that covenant. No, take us into the land. God says, I told you I'd take it if we enter the covenant. You're not covenant making a deal with me. We're not agreeing to anything. I'm not going to give you the land. Well, we want you to give us the land. Just don't open us if we don't do anything good. Or what people love to say now, let me think about it. Oh, I've learned a translation for let me think about it. It means no. Okay? That's what it means. But say, let me think about it. They don't want to commit to that thing. You got to commit to a covenant in order to get the benefits of the covenant. There's a million things about that. Marriage. Oh boy, let me get myself. Luckily we're a Thursday night crowd here. Get myself in all kinds of trouble this year. Marriage is a covenant between three people. A man, a woman, and God. Everybody wants to deal out of that covenant the fun things. And people don't want the commitment for the covenant. Foolish women give their bodies part of a covenant. Let some man say, no, I won't commit anything, but I'm going to take this covenant. Sin against God, and it's a way to never get married. Because why does he marry you? Everything he wants from you without any commitment. I protect ladies all the time. I protect him from abusive boyfriends. I protect him from boyfriends who want the covenant, made the commitment. But he loves me. He married me. Where's the ring and when's the... That's that question a whole bunch. We're engaged. Where's the ring? Right here. Okay, when's the date? Well, we're going to do it someday. Okay. Till then, tell him to keep his hands off. I'm great at making this. And by the way, I've had mean, nasty boyfriends pounding on my window at night. I made a whole bunch of bad enemies with this. I had to stand and nose with them while she moves out. Because I'm not going to go and let some guy abuse a woman when she finally says no. You owe me. She doesn't owe you anything. By the way, let me tell you women something. If you're married, you don't have to submit to him. That's a benefit of the covenant. I've had women, you know what? I got to obey him, and he's telling me this. I said, obey him? You're not married, right? Well, no, but women are supposed to obey their husbands. Their husband. He's not your husband. You have to do a thing, he says. He has not entered into that covenant with you. He doesn't get that benefit of the covenant. When my wife and I said I do, now she's obligated. I get that benefit of the covenant, which, by the way, is a big responsibility, where she's going to follow me. She will. But you know what? If I wouldn't have married her, she didn't have anything in the world to do what I say. Because we're not in that covenant. Oh, whole bunch of things about marriage. That's why there's so many things that are inside marriage. You shouldn't be close to someone before you're married. Get to know their character, but get very emotionally married. Don't pull all that shit. By the way, when you get too emotionally attached, you'll have physical at that point. Go any farther emotionally. A bunch of stories I could tell you about that. You don't let everything out of that. And men expect her to give you that, and women allow people to take out of the covenant, the marriage covenant. It is a agreement. By the way, when my and I got married, I went into covenant, keep thee only unto her so long as you both live. Okay? I'm not close to any of you women, nor will I be. I'll be nice to you. I'll love you in the Lord. I'll be your friend. I'll be nice to you. I'll minister you. I'll counsel you. By the way, counsel any woman. If my wife says, what do you counsel about? She has that right to me to tell her. Lease the subject. I might not detail if I don't think it's proper, but she protects me. And I don't ever counsel the woman who doesn't know I'm doing that. And I never have another woman meet my emotional needs. I'm freaking all the women. That means no old friends, no getting attached to any women, none of that. I'm in covenant with one woman. Like God is in a covenant with Israel and says, don't mess with anything. You're in a covenant. Marriage is a great covenant to get you bits out of it. And by the way, when it ever gets back to that where marriage is a covenant, all of a sudden the benefits are all enjoyed once you're married, and the honeymoon means something now, and all that stuff is right like it should be, we will have people who want to get again and enjoy marriage. Marriage is a covenant. By the way, it's not just between a man and a woman. It's a man and a woman. What God joined together, let not man asunder. It's a covenant. Very careful. You got to be very careful because one of those covenants that all the benefits, and by the way, the bed is undefiled, the Bible, between a husband and wife. God's for it. God thinks it's wonderful. Intimacy's part of God's. God made it, and it's not bad at all. It's wonderful in marriage. Outside of marriage, adulterers and hungers, God will judge. Amen. Number two, number one, you benefit of the covenant. Number two, you're Lord to do something you want to do. Turn to I'm going to be reading out of First Samuel. I preached what I just preached 50 years ago. Duh. I preach that nowadays. He's really serious about marriage. Duh. Because our society changed. Doesn't mean God's covenant changed. I'm going to get divorced. I'm going to remarry. You're in it. Number two. You get the Lord to do something you want him to do. This is an approach to a covenant. But sometimes you enter into with God because you're trying to get him to do something. And 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. God of vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaiden, remain, and forget not thine handmaiden, but with thine handmaiden a man-child. Now give unto him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall come measure upon his head. Here we have Anna here, and she wants a boy. She can't have kids. And she said, God, we don't see anything about God's anything on his side. He didn't tell her to go pray, but she wanted a man child, boy. And she said, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will give him to you all his days. I will let him take a Nazarite vow. He will keep the Nazarite vow, and he will be a son of you, and he will be yours in your hand. That's what she prayed. She entered into a covenant with God, and God accepted the covenant. And in verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, for the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Look at verse 28. Therefore also, so she got her child, so have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. She said, God, I'm giving this child, it won't be mine. I'm giving him to you if you'll give me a boy. And God said, I'll take you on that. And God gave her a boy, and he became Samuel, the great prophet who changed the nation and anointing and preached God's word and an amazing prophet. Because why? Because God had a covenant. She wanted the boy. She made a covenant. I've heard of this many times. I think of Scop's mom. She was in a car when she was a teenager, and the car was broadsided hard, and the car started spinning. And she flew out of that car, and she straddled a street sign 30 or 35 miles per hour. And destroyed her internal organs. She straddled the thing. And they said, you will never have children live. They didn't think she'd live. And you'll never have children. She has brokenhearted. She always wanted a son. And she said, God, if you give me a son someday, I'm to you to be a preacher. And now Brother Scott Patton, largest church in America. I don't really know how her organs even did it, but she, God just worked it out, and she'll have two children because she made a covenant with God. I made covenants with God. I don't take them lightly. The Bible holds you to them. If she went and did not give it to God, God would say, I will take it from you then. God holds you to these covenants when you make a vow of them. It's a whole other subject. When I came out, I started the church. I knew about the ministry. I've been an assistant pastor and worked in ministry work, and a lot of ministry work, and so I knew what I was getting in. And I can handle most any burden in ministry. I can take a lot of abuse. I can take a lot of times. I don't get real discouraged really easily. But the one thing it used to get me really bad was financial problems. I don't mean when I didn't have money to roll bank. I don't mean that. I mean when I was married or when I was in college, all of a sudden I'd be out of money, didn't know how I was going to pay a college bill, or my car broke down, I couldn't get it fixed, or I was going to get it from my apartment, or whatever it was. That really came and stressed me out. Those of you who know me now, you're going to be kidding me. You never worry about money. I told God, I said, Lord, whatever burdens come to the ministry and handle, I just don't want to worry about money. I can't stand it. It worries me. It frustrates me. I got to feed my family. I got to take them. And when I have financial problems, I'm just stressed. By the way, most men get very angry tight when they're under financial pressure. Remember that. They get stressed out and uptight, generally do. And don't get upset. That's their name. Okay? And that's your. And I told God, I said, Lord, before I came here, I said, Lord, whatever burdens come my way, I'll take. I'm just not going to worry about me. I just pray you'd make it so I don't have to worry about the money. And I felt very peaceful. God said, I'll do that. And I came here. When I came here, we had been on intense financial pressure. And my wife was laughing today. Somebody we had helped many times financially. We were laughing because they several brand new things. And it wasn't too long ago when we helped nice new things that cost a lot of money that our guys don't need. And we were laughing because say financial pressure. I don't mean what you mean by financial pressure. What most people mean by pressure. I don't mean you know what? I get a new car. I got to buy a 1-year-old car and sell one of my four other cars and you know all that stuff. I'm talking financial pressure of thousands of dollars of debt in a month, and, not knowing how you're going to pay the church's bills or anything else. Very intense financial pressure that was there. I never worry about it. I've had times where I remember one time I started writing a budget. And I paid my mortgage, I wrote down my mortgage, I wrote down my car insurance, I wrote down my electric bill. And I think that's the only things I wrote down. those three things, and I was trying to make a budget, and I got to those three things that I pay every month, and I was $300 unmade. I hadn't put in fit or gas or anything. Okay, forget the budget, and forgot about that. But I just said, Lord, it's in your hands. And I think I agreed to that covenant because I didn't want money. I didn't want to think about money. I don't like money. I don't like thinking about money. I don't like having my money. I just, we'll just build when we can and trust God. By the way, I have perfect credit. And I'm before, and my family's provided for. We're definitely not rich. We drive old cars. We're doing great. We're richer than most people and most people in history because we reckon we're blessed. You know what? I don't worry about money because God, I believe I want covenant. I really didn't want to think about money much. God did that. And if you want something from God, this slightly, Lord, I really want a beanbag chair. Do that to me. I will go and climb Mount Everest. Stupid things, okay? It's not little things. Okay. Not, Lord, I pray you'd give me a Burger King today, and I don't see a Burger King. If you're giving a Burger King, I will the rest of my life, think single day. I'm talking about dumb things, okay? You don't need to make a covenant over light things. But it's something big where you want something from God. She wanted the son. And she made a big deal. I'll give them to you. If you want something from God and it's a big deal to you and you think it's something God might not, you haven't. I know. God, give me the lottery numbers. That's not what this is here. I'm not talking about that. But you covenant with God and ask God. God may say yes and no because he knows what's good for you. But if you want something from God, somebody may say, you know what? If you'll give me your power and do a mighty work every single day of my life, I will praise you. And I'll make sure every single time I speak in front of people, I'll tell them, I'm going to tell you what God did. I'll say those words. Or something like, something that God would like. You can enter covenant, but do not enter into those things lightly. Because it'll get something from God. God holds you to your side. Number three, why would you want to enter into a covenant? Because the commitment of covenant opens the doors to relationships. The commitment of covenant opens the doors to deep relationships. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. So you can get married when you make a commitment. You can enter into that covenant into a very deep relationship. Don't enter into that deep relationship casually. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we'll end up being. It's doing a very deep relationship. See, if you're a person, you don't enter into deep relationships, though you enter into many relationships. Okay? There are many people. I talk to 30 people today about different things. I mean, I talk to a lawyer. I talk to somebody in jail. I talk to everybody in the world just doing ministry work today. People in our church. I talk to people who are part-time. Talk to people who just got out of the hospital. Talk to people. Some of the people I'm in a very deep relationship with, okay? I love every one of them. And I'm a friend but everyone else I love. But I love every one of them. You are tired tonight. I love every one of them very much, but every single one of them, I'm not in a deep relationship. And one person just called me, and they're a person who wants their life changed, but will never do what I tell them to do. I love that person. I love when they're at church, and they're a friend. But I spend a lot of time with them. I have deep relationships in the church here. They're committed both ways. Some of you, this is your church. Be here. I'm going to be here for you. We're in a cup. We never stand there and say, okay, let's cut our hands. Blood brothers. I mean, it's not like that. We're not doing that kind of thing. But we're very committed to each other because this is your church. And I'm your pastor, and I'm committed to you through thick and thin. You don't have that relationship with everybody. A lot of people enter into relationships with people who are flakes. You know what you do? You say, we are tied, and they go jump off the bridge. And you say, I'm with you. And you know what? That's what happens. Many have messed up lives because the people are tied to. Don't tie yourself deeply in commitment. That's why you don't marry the wrong person. You enter those relationships carefully. And when you get close to somebody, you can reinvest your heart into them. You can really have a deep relationship with them. Because they're, how many of you thought you had a real, real deep friend? And that real, real deep friend abandoned you. Wasn't there for you. And how bad did that hurt? And how bad did that mess you up? You were counting on them. And they weren't there for you. How many children, parents aren't there for each other because they aren't really in it with each other, thick or thin, through life? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You can't get really close to God without being in the covenant with him. Chapter 6. You can be saved. You can go to heaven because Jesus died for your sins. That's settled. As you say, I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. I know you died for my sins and rose again. Not a problem. But you cannot be super close to God unless you're committed to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers is a covenant God enter into. For what fellowship hath righteous with unrighteousness, and what communion hath darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part he that hath heart, what hath he that believeth with an infidel? Agreement at the temple of God hath idols, for ye the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay, God's covenant. Okay, knock at my door. I want to eat your food, sleep in your bed, and be in your house, and have you take care of me. What was your name? No. But here comes a kid, and all of a sudden this kid has terrible problems, terrible home, and the problems of the family's and he's in danger and everything else. And the parents say, can you take my child for a while? And the kid comes and says, I want to be part of your home. Come on in. If you come in, let me just sit down and tell you some things we do in our house that abide by. But we'll love to have home. We'll take care of you. That covenant gets entered into, and now we can be very close. But not but it can enter into a covenant with God. In this covenant, in 2 Corinthians 6, what is it your responsibility is to enter? Go back. What does God say he's going to do if you keep the covenant? What are the blessings? Anybody? Anybody with me? Read it. Ron? Okay. That was in Deuteronomy. Well, in 2 Corinthians, here. Jess? He'll be our father. What else? Several of them here. Look at the big stuff, according to the Old Testament. Going to dwell with us. Yeah. Feed us. He'll walk in us. You shall be my sons and daughters. I will receive you. Okay? He says, I will receive you. I'll walk in you. I'll be a father to you. I'll dwell among you. I will be close to you. That commitment only comes if you keep the covenant. What's the covenant that we have to keep? So one word defines. Right. God says, if you will separate yourself from the wicked, unclean world, I'll receive you very close to you. If you do not want to separate, I'll still love you. I'll still care about you. But you won't. I won't dwell among you. I don't dwell among uncleanness. Many Christians want to be close to God. It has gotten so far from separation that you say, you know, you ever thought about the Bible, the separation? They say, that's legalism. I don't believe separation. You can't enter a covenant. That's New Testament. He says, if you won't separate, I'm not going to be real close to you. And Christians say, man, I go to church all the time. I try to do the right thing, and I just feel close to God. I mean, I'm trying to do everything right. I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. I mean, I feel like God's not listening. I feel like you're not separated. God is not obligated to dwell among close to you. You've not kept your covenant. That covenant of close is only for people who enter into covenant with him. Deep relationships are for covenants. Your deep relationship is for marriage. That's the deep relationship. You don't enter a relationship with other women or men if you're married. That deepest relationship with God comes through separation. God goes to the point where he says, you'll chew your people if you'll decide to follow me. It's for very deep things. Can I say this? If you really want to be close to God, and by the way, if you get saved, you are closer to God. If you're over here unsaved, you don't know Jesus Christ, you're saved. He wants to save you and be God. And you can go to this step of him being your God and your Savior, and you're going to heaven. It's not close, but you're going. But you try to take, there's several steps we don't have time to go through them. There's several relationships you have with God. But you say, I'm going to separate from this world and be different. I'm not going to be among the unclean. And God says, woo. Come over here and let's snuggle up. I want to get real close to you. But a lot of Christians, they say, God, let's snuggle up. And God says, you're icky and dirty, and I don't want to get close to you. You're not separated. You got the world all over you. Many times I've come home from a job and said, honey, how you doing? She says, great. As soon as you do a shower and change, I'll snuggle a whole bunch. And the Bible be unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. God. You're supposed to be set world. And so you see the deepest relationships in life come because I'm in a covenant. So why should you enter in a covenant when it brings a problem? The same reason you say, okay, I'll work there. I want 25 an hour and full benefits. I don't want the job. Okay, then you don't get the $25 an hour benefits. That's the reason. Second reason you enter into a covenant is because it gets the Lord to do something for you, and he might decide to do that if you make an offer. Number three, because the commitment of covenant, the willingness to commit, opens the door to deep relationships, and the lack of commitment keeps you from it. Can you commit to God tonight? Can you commit to the right relationships? It brings great blessings if you'll do that. Become separated. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the teachings of covenant in the Bible. We have so many things to teach on it, Lord. So many things need learned, Lord, about